Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick with you. This morning, it is battery day. It's here, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time is when the presentation, well, the Investor Day presentation starts, and battery days after that. We'll talk Tesla. We'll talk price action in Amazon this morning and Peloton because there's news on that front. More restrictions just announced in England as far as coronavirus is concerned, so that could be weighing on markets here a little bit. Had a couple activist stakes disclosed overnight. GameStop, they had a stake that was raised, and an activist stake in Comcast, which you don't see very often. Our guest today is Anne Marie Band. She's, of course, one of our favorites. She's a trader. She runs thetradingbook.com. She would join us at 8:15. I want to remind everyone to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate that. And now I will throw it to Joel, who will recap for us what exactly has happened here in the overnight trading session. Joel.
Choppy is what your overnight range is. We are trading down five handles here at 32.70, right on the nose. We have crude in the green by just a few pennies at 39.56. Gold descending on 1900, down a buck 30 at 1909.30. Silver in the red too by 22 cents, room 222 at 24.175. And Bitcoin backing off 11,000. It's down $40 here at 10,445. We had a nice rally going, and then Mr. Johnson came out with some negative comments.
I mean, that just happened here a few moments ago.
What are the comments?
10 p.m. curfew now in the UK that applies to everyone, except for, I guess, food delivery drivers and obviously essential employees. No indoor gatherings, or at least as far as like weddings, was cut to 15 people maximum. What else did he say? Let me find the exact.
Restaurants and pubs.
This is all like the most predictable. Like, this is just like falling like by the playbook, really. And there's no playbook for a pandemic, but they said, you know, we're going to get the relief in the summer, and then September's going to come around. People are going to start going back, you know, obviously the kids back to school, people going more indoors as it gets colder, and it's going to start to spread again. I mean, you know, you talk about all this, but it's kind of played out exactly how some of these, you know, experts like Scott Gottlieb on CNBC have said. I mean, if you just think about it that way, and if you're trading around it and trading around it, you probably would have been selling everything back in late August when Jeremy Newsom sold everything, the Jeremy Newsom top, and been laughing right now. I guess we should have listened to the experts, because I kept my stocks. I didn't sell, you know. Obviously, I've had a little more cash because I've just been somewhat concerned. But, you know, obviously, I wish I would have went total cash when Jeremy Newsom did 3 weeks ago.
Yep, now 300 points off that all-time high. New low for the decline yesterday at 32.1775. But we got a nice bounce off the close, but not really sticking yet so far this morning.
So we look here. This market, you know, has chopped around a lot overnight. We had ugly day again yesterday, but it played out kind of how we said it on the pre-market show. I was saying, watch on the pullbacks, the tech stocks, the Amazons, the gamers, because if we're going back to this lockdown trade, these are the stocks that are going to take off. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. I took some heat. People didn't like it when I said EA could go up. In the chat, EA opened at the low yesterday, right at the low, and rallied $4. Take two, huge day for take two. Amazon, they came with their buying shoes on. That's continued this morning with the Bernstein upgrade and competition for Peloton. So there's lots of stocks to talk about here. Maybe we should just start, or should we go to the big gun and start with Tesla, because everybody's looking at their screen saying, is Tesla really down $20?
Let's start with Tesla, and then we can move on from that, because it is down this morning. Actually, I think the whole, if you can call it the sector, several of those names are down this morning. It's not just Tesla. But Elon Musk, doing what he does, I guess trying to temper expectations a little bit going into
that's always what he does.
Event today, just saying that production, whatever they announce, production won't really reach a high volume until 2022. Regardless, I think whatever he said, expectations for this event are through the freaking roof right now. You've got speculation of a million-mile battery. Really, I don't know if expectations...
A million-mile battery.
I know.
How's that work?
So expectations couldn't really be higher.
What car lasts for a million miles? Has anybody ever had a car? I know my one buddy had a Honda that had like 390,000 miles on it, but has there ever even been a car that has lasted for a million miles? Has that ever happened?
No.
What's like the record?
I don't know.
What do you need a million miles for? The car will be falling apart by a million miles, but it's cool.
I guess the idea is Teslas won't fall apart.
I think that's Tesla. You buy a Tesla today, you can be driving this in 2050, the same Tesla, and will look identical and perform even better because we have the updates for it.
No, because you know what they'll do is it'll be like your phone. The more updates you do, the slower it gets.
Oh, yeah. So you'll be driving like 1 mile an hour.
Exactly. So 4:30 p.m. Eastern time is when the investor presentation starts, and then after that, whenever that ends, after that is the battery day talk. So it'll be after hours, so just keep it on your radar today. But heading into the event, I mean, it's shaping up, best I can tell, early impressions here, potentially a sell the news situation. I don't know, based on this morning.
It's sell before the news. And actually, I almost got dinged on this, and I'm going to thank Charles here right now, who saved my a blank blank last night because he called it out on Benzinga Pro. So thank you, Charles. If you're listening in the background, he's probably not because he has to squawk, but he tweeted that out pretty fast, that Elon Musk tweet. And I was like, oh, that's not good, because you know what I do? I like to buy them ahead of battery day. So I was long Tesla last night at the close. And it actually was trading up $5-6 last night. I actually sold some, which was good. But then Charles calls out the tweet, and I was like, oh boy, that's bad. And I ended up getting out of the rest of my long right in the 449 handle. So you had some time. Thank you, Charles, for being quick. And then she just continued to tank. Wish I would have went short, but I was just trying to save my ass. I got to get out of Tesla. I should have been thinking fast. I got to get out of Tesla and get short, but it went really fast. So I hit my long. And it just continued. They were hitting bits all the way down to like 4:30. And obviously it got a little lift there at 4:40 in the next candle, and then just kept leaking. And now we've kind of consolidated here down 20 points. But Benzinga Pro Charles saves my butt.
A definite topping pattern here. Four highs in the same area. I'll just look at that 461.94, which is the high of the move. Also, I've been repeating the closing on the pre-split day, which is 442.68. I think at this area, you have a very, very low risk short at this area, stopping yourself. Just four highs in the same area, all-time high up there at 500. Just looks like a topping pattern to me. Wouldn't want to be long.
The expectations here, though, now that he's brought them down for battery day tonight, he could have turned this from a sell the news event to a buy the news event. And I think it's very smart what he did. If he's just doing stock management, like stock price management with this. And we know, you know, they do, every company does this to a certain extent. There's like, oh, you know, they try to bring down the expectations a little bit so they can get over that bar. So now he's got the expectations. Everybody's like, oh, battery day is going to be a mess. It's not going to be good. You know, we're down $20. You know, he's taken the excitement out of it. And if he can say something positive, I would not be surprised if after 4:30 tonight that Tesla actually gets a lift on battery day. So I think it's smart. I think it's smart by him. A little short-term one-day pain here for maybe, potentially. I think the stock, if he says anything okay, could actually pop on it.
Well, just keep your eye on
that. What are your thoughts on that?
I think you just gave like so many different scenarios that, you know, talking down your stock, up your, well, yeah, he's talking down his stock so it can rally.
That's what I think.
A possibility. It's a definite possibility. I'm just looking at the last four highs, and it just tells me there's resistance there. There's a seller there. So if you do get a pop, it really needs to clear that 462, and then it obviously opens up the 500. So on the downside here, you got a pair of lows just above 400. That's your support. Actually, you got a great support area. 407.07 was your low yesterday. 408 on Thursday, so two lows in the same area and four highs in the same area. So you couldn't, you know, if the strangles weren't $95 or the straddles or whatever, it might not be a bad option play. It's going to move out of here. I'm just unsure of the direction and leaning more towards leaning on the resistance than trying to pick a bottom in support.
I think it's just going to hang out until we get the news tonight, and then it depends on how they feel about the news. So,
I mean, what are they supposed to, like, are they coming out with some new, oh, you heard the million-mile battery or whatever, but, you know, they got to make a lot more cars to put the batteries into, right? And the batteries are for other things.
Well, and that was part of the other tweet, the second tweet, Spencer, with production issues there, obviously. I think that was maybe what the issue here is, too. There was two tweets back-to-back. Did you read the second tweet?
You're referring to the one...
He went bang, and then two minutes later, he gave another tweet.
Yeah, even with our cell suppliers going at max speed, we still foresee significant shortages in 2022 and beyond unless we also take action ourselves.
So he's saying about the supply shortages, and yeah. I think that actually hit it down there too, which is what Joel was alluding to a certain extent. And that's why the stock's down. But unless we take action ourselves, what does that mean? Does that mean that they are going to full on, you know, start producing all that stuff themselves and just cut the suppliers right out? Are they going to announce something like that? Is he preparing? Because here, let me just bring up the tweet myself because I'm butchering it.
No, so, I read it for you.
Yeah, but I can't remember exactly. So I'm trying to just totally analyze the wording and trying to like read between the lines here. And it's funny, you know, it's like Jason says, you know, you do your research and you actually look and you read between the lines. You can get ahead of the trade sometimes. So sometimes there's something there and sometimes there's nothing there. But he says, we intend to increase, not reduce battery cell purchases from Panasonic, LG, and CATL. However, even with our cell suppliers going at maximum speed, we still foresee significant shortages in 2022. So is he saying that they're going to start producing battery cells themselves? Is he going to announce that tonight? That they're actually, you know, because they obviously they're purchasing them from Panasonic, LG, and CATL. But hey, then he says we need to take action ourselves.
I want to interrupt you real fast. Okay. And an influential short seller is out on a new short. Muddy.
Okay, let's go over that.
Muddy Waters. The stock is NNOX, Nancy, Oscar X-Ray. So that is moving down here. It is from Carson Block, who actually had maybe an all-time interview on CNBC yesterday, but that's another story. Anyway, they're out this morning with a new short report on, and then let me go to the report now and see what it says. But this just came out like a minute ago. They just tweeted this.
These tweets move stocks. Yeah. Sweet Elon Musk knocked his own stock down there 25 points last night. And obviously we know Carson Block at Muddy Waters, which had a great segment. We'll talk about that in a second on CNBC last night. It's down 14%. These things can get ugly sometimes when they obviously have accusations. We know there's multiple. This all started. Was Citron the first to really start this? You know, this like, you know, research, the short selling research reports that just annihilate stocks. You know, Hindenburg is one of the big ones here now. Muddy Waters is on. They don't do as much, but they, when they come out, everybody listens as well. Those are the big three, eh, Spencer? Those are the big three?
I would say, yes.
Is there a few other ones that do this?
Citron, Muddy Waters. There are others.
Hindenburg. Those are the big three. So when they say something, the market listens.
Ackman started it with Herbalife, and he kind of got rolled on it. But Ackman did it a long time ago. But him and
we lost your mic again too, Joel. I don't know. You're going to have to get a new headset maybe because their mic is just – it comes in and out is what it is. It's probably a faulty cord. So you actually might have to go and get a new headset if it's going to continue to do that. But we apologize for Joel's low volume.
So anyway,
do you want to give us levels on this, Joel, NNOX? It's hard to do because it hasn't been out there that long.
Can't even. I don't know if
it's... You talk about kicking a dog when it's down. This was sitting on three daily lows, and it just right in the same area. So technically they wanted to bust it through the low of the move, 27.63. Only two daily levels to keep an eye on. 23.50 was your low on August 24th. We haven't hit that yet. And then the all-time low for this issue on its first day of trading was 20.26. That's all I have for you. Currently trading at $24, but they kicked it right when it was like trying to put a triple bottom in. Good timing by Muddy Waters.
Okay, Joel, try to shake his cord a little bit and try to get that out. He's going to get a new headset here for you. We'll either send one. Oh, something clicked there, so maybe that's going to work. But let's move on here. Let's go over to Amazon because this is a big headline here too. And Amazon gets an upgrade today. Amazon competing with Peloton here this morning as well. Give us all the details here, Spencer.
The Prime Bike. I wonder how they came up with that name.
Is that what they're calling it, the Prime Bike?
Yeah, well, it's Amazon. They're not doing this by themselves. It's a partnership
with who?
Echelon is the name of the company. And they're making the Echelon Smart Connect Fitness Bikes, a.k.a. the Prime Bike. They said it's going to retail for less than $500, which is a massive lower price point than Peloton. So, oh, wait. Anne-Marie Band is here, and I lost track of time. It's 8:17. So let's do Amazon real fast.
Bring Anne-Marie in. Well, Anne-Marie, she'll talk Amazon,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. Let me bring her on in a second. So here, bring Anne-Marie on right now. I'm sorry, Anne-Marie. I lost track of time there with that Muddy Waters short report. So Anne-Marie Band is with us. She's the author of or she runs a tradingbook.com. She's a trader. She's a technician. And she's here now joining us on Pre-Market Prep, I believe. One second, unmute her and get her up. Anne-Marie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We are doing okay. We were just talking to Amazon and Peloton here. I don't know if you saw that news, but Amazon launched their own version of, I guess, the Peloton bike and also caught a upgrade this morning from Bernstein. So let's start there. Thoughts on Amazon here?
Well, you know, they had a really nice fade. If you're looking for value, right, where it's, you know, you could always argue, where are we going to find value here? But if you're looking for value, they had a great fade. And so for those of us looking in the market and we're saying to ourselves, wow, these things just keep going up and up, when these fades come in, and literally, what is that, $600 or so? Maybe even $700 by the time we looked at the very low. So that's a really nice fade from off where it was. And I think if anybody can compete, you know, they can for sure.
When Amazon comes into your business, it always seems to ding it. And then the stocks seem to come back. And obviously, you know, they were going to deliver and put UPS and FedEx out of business. They were going to, you know, get into the grocery stores when they bought Whole Foods and Walmart and Target and Costco. That day fell 10%. It's always like this knee-jerk reaction, like, oh my God, Amazon's coming at us. And we know we got to sell the stock. Peloton is not getting that much. It's getting hit. It's down $2.50, but I mean, putting in this in perspective, the stock was up $10, you know, really yesterday.
Right.
And so you're only giving back $2.50, and Amazon's coming. And I mean, you're kind of a one-trick pony here, Peloton. And you got Amazon going and, you know, going to kind of try to come in and take a big bite of your pie. I would have thought the stock would be down significantly more than that. So it's holding up fairly well, and I guess that's a good thing. If you're long Peloton, that they're just kind of shrugging this off.
I think so, but you know, I don't have the Peloton and I don't have the service. But what I was thinking about was, you know, a lot of times it's about who's running the program that you're working, right? So Joel, you have one of those, correct? Yes.
Joel's mic is really having troubles here today.
Oh, okay.
Can't hear Joel at all now. So,
he's trying to. He has one though, right? He has one though.
Yeah, Joel has one. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I remember him saying that he really liked the instructors, and so at the end of the day, maybe we all have the same equipment, maybe we all have whatever, but if it's about something more intangible, keeping you on the bike every day, it might be that it's the instructors that end up having something to do with it. And Peloton seems to have strength in terms of people saying, you know, I understand that this is going to get hit, but these guys are great. And then plus, you know, we had new lockdown things come over the wires yesterday. And I think everybody moved back to the COVID stocks.
Oh, yeah.
And that might have kept Peloton a bit buoyed more than normal. I don't know what your thoughts are there.
No, we talked about it on the show yesterday morning, and I was saying, this is the kind of day everything was dipping in the pre-market. I was like, this is the kind of day they're going to jump back into the stay-at-home plays. And I was pitching Amazon. I was pitching the gamers, and that's exactly what the market did.
Yeah.
So now you look at Amazon, and you think, okay, I actually think that low that it made yesterday morning at 28.71, it obviously opened, and then it went down a little bit from there, but then came right back up. I think a lot of those stay-at-home stocks made their lows yesterday. So those are the stocks that I would continue to buy on pullbacks if you can get them. And Amazon is just firing on all cylinders plus. I mean, this is a company that, you know, like you said, it was a nice discount to come off $600 from the highs. You're talking about almost, you know, a 17, 18% fall in Amazon in 3 weeks. And if you are a big fan of buy the dip, you're buying the dip on one of the best companies in the world. I'm a long Amazon still, so I didn't continue to buy the dip. I'm still long it. But, I mean, if I was not in Amazon, I'd be looking for dips to get in it.
Yeah, most definitely. And really, you know, overall, if you're thinking about staying in the market through whatever is going to come down the river, as it were, it really is look for the best of the best and then wait for the dip. You know, we've fallen back into the stock pickers market space, I think. And so we're going to see that, I hate using those big words, but you're going to see that bifurcation again as we have that sector rotation and some things move and some things don't. You're not going to have a good press in all the spaces. And so you just look for the highest performers and you risk the urge that you have to buy at these high breakouts and just wait until it looks really wretched. And then you start picking things up. And yesterday, what a lot of these charts had done, certainly indices, they had retraced all of August's move. And when we came down into those lows of August, we saw traders trying to push them below. And then we started getting that flattening. And so yesterday was a pretty critical day, I think, in terms of buyers saying, hey, we got a foothold. We're trying to put a floor here. And now it's going to be, can we recover last week's damage? So it's just going to be that walkthrough space and to be gingerly long some of the very, very good performers.
Yeah, because if you look at some of the other performers, and this has been a stock picker's market. Some people don't like it when you say that, but it really has
been.
Because if you've just been buying everything, you've been punished. Like the banks, you look at Wells Fargo and you think, holy crap, you know, we're at the March lows almost on Wells Fargo here. And you look at, you know, some of obviously, you know, there's just a lot of stocks that just haven't participated. I mean, even yesterday, Boeing made a new low on the move yesterday, and maybe it was some issues with the MAX, but you know, you can see American Airlines, you know, every time you think that these things, here we go. American Airlines been consolidating for a while. It's starting to show some life here. They pull the rug out from under you and then knock them right back down. I mean, here's a stock that's went nowhere since June. So it has not paid to, you know, try to play the catch-up trade and thinking some of these names are going to eventually catch up to big tech stocks. It's only paid to buy the dip on tech stocks.
Yep. Very, very, very true. The one space that I think might be very interesting is the healthcare space as it relates to things like Humana, to things like United Healthcare, so HUM and UNH. Those guys are going to win whatever Medicare/Medicaid storyboard. So that's another one that I would say, hey, listen, you just want to buy the dip when you can find it. And the very different retail space that really caters to the affluent, and that would be Restoration Hardware, RH. those guys are unbelievable performers in the space. And so if you're looking for those pockets of excellence that are going to weather the storm simply because of where they're positioned, that's going to be something to watch. And finding Restoration Hardware on a discount has been really, really tough, but it's given us a couple, and then it's just absolutely roared. It's one of the few that's really roared to brand new highs that is not in tech. And so that, though expensive, it really caters to a group that is not having any kinds of problems in the current environment.
What do you think on the overall market? Because we can know, and let's just look at the S&P, and obviously, you know, even the NASDAQ, but I mean, the S&P here, we've had, maybe it depends how you draw your lines, but you're starting to look like we had this really steep, steep uptrend here since March, where we've gone straight up with very few hiccups. And now it's like, we're almost breaking trend. Are you concerned here that, you know, obviously we talked about the tech stocks, maybe, you know, some of the dips on these could be okay, but are you concerned the overall market at all?
You know, my thought is this. I tend to draw horizontal lines instead of trend lines.
Why?
And so I like the horizontal lines because they remind me of the levels of breakout and advancement, and okay. I get to see the retrace. And so if we're looking at the SPX, we can see that what we're in the middle of is something that looks, if we look at the monthly chart, it looks like a bearish engulfing candle that is sitting in its space if we run into the end of September looking like this. And so that tells me, well, wait a second. We had the last time we were battling around these zones was just before the COVID space, right? So if we take a look at SPY and we sort of back it down into a monthly formation, we can see we're just under those highs that we had before the year started taking a terrible tumble in, you know, February, March. And so my thought is, who's going to look there? Well, the patient trader who says, all right, I don't buy the breakout, but I'll buy the retest on an uptrend. I think those are the guys that came in yesterday. And so they are the ones who have everything to prove. If they hold the edge, I'm not going to be too worried about the market space. And frankly, you know, we've moved so much so fast that really, even if we fell into 300, we'd still be in a massive uptrend. And so the recovery has been so fast. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, I'm not sure who the first person that said it was, but from fast moves come failed moves. And these, we've had these savage moves over the last few years. And now all of a sudden we're seeing intraday volatility rise while the VIX continues to fall off a cliff. So for me, there's some measure of complacency where nobody's really buying the VIX anymore. You can see the VIX way down at the lows, even when we're dipping so far down. So I think that that's something super interesting. And right now, I think buyers have a lot to prove. My thought is, yes, I think we are being, I think we're right on the edge of, hey, let's not just buy every dip every day brings, because that's not going to be pretty for us. We've seen that the last 3 weeks. And so my thought is there's definitely a yellow light flashing here for me. If we can get back and close the week above 34.20, what we'll do is we'll recover the last couple of weeks of noise and we'll be sitting in a sideways patch. But, you know, we've got a lot of things on the table. We have political parties that have drawn lines, and those lines look like they're very hard in the sand, and they're going to do whatever, and the market doesn't like that level of uncertainty. My thought is, why is the VIX not moving? Why are we not seeing any thoughts of danger, Will Robinson, as the market pulls in. And I think it's because people really are thinking to themselves, wait a second, every time the VIX spikes and the market pulls in, it's just giving me another buy zone. So yeah. I'm just wasting my money buying puts. Oh, there you are.
Joel, do we got you back there? I think we do.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Anne-Marie, even when you say things like that and you're skeptical, you say it in such a reassuring tone that I can't help but feel okay.
It's the calming voice. It's like I'm the opposite. I panic everybody. I'm hyper, and she calms me down. I'm like, exactly. I'm so relieved just even talking to Anne-Marie. It's therapeutic to us.
It is therapeutic.
You're so kind. You're so kind.
But she was so rational with her train of thought, too, yeah. though. Like, it all makes sense. And, I mean, this is what you've got to do in this types of markets. I mean, you know, it's automatic. I'm in the markets 20 years, and I see, the markets going down yesterday. I'm like, you know, because obviously I have a long-term investment portfolio that's long only, and I hate seeing that go down. But I mean, you got to sometimes just sit back and say, hey, it can't go up every single day.
Exactly.
You know, we've had a hell of a run. You know, now we're just, you know, coming back in, natural correction. Is the end of the yeah. world coming here? It looked like it in March, but I don't think the zombie apocalypse is on the horizon. So, you know, maybe you pick your companies and you pick your spots. So
yeah, and you know, I really think that the trader that wins this game is the one who's going to be very patient and not say, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger here. Because, you know, we recaptured the 50 last week. Everybody was talking about that. And then we just lost it this morning on the fade. With the news that just hit, I don't know exactly what it was, but in the futures, we popped up and then we pulled back down. It's just, we're in a war zone and it's like a game of tug of war. And there are going to be some of us that are going to rush the gate. And then there are going to be some of us that hold back. And really, I think patience is going to win the long game. I don't know what's going to win the short game, frankly, because it really bothers me to watch the market fall and watch the VIX fall with it. And see, I've been watching the VIX for almost 20 years, and I've not seen it do this. So my question is, what gives? What's the backstory right there? And I'm not sure when I go looking for it, I'm not sure I'm getting that answer. So I have that question mark always sitting there. And you know, to your point, Dennis, about watching how the markets fall, they fall at a different speed than they used to. And so that, to me, that speed event is the one that catches me off guard a little bit. When it breaks, like yesterday, I was looking for the dip to buy it. I was looking right when it opened. I was like, all right, I know the buyers are going to come in here. We've retraced the entire month, whatever, whatever. And they just ran all the stops. And I sat there going, wow, that was one of my stops that they ran. What's happening?
This isn't supposed to happen. This buy the dip thing's supposed to work.
Exactly. And so I think, I really think a patient, slower pace, and it's almost a forced event. You just got to grab the arms of your chair and say, wait a second, what is it that I need to actually wait for here?
Anne-Marie, you said that you were concerned that the market was going down and the VIX was going down too?
Yes.
Okay. I kind of thought that if the market's going down and the VIX is going down, that means the volatility is coming down. So I think I would think of the opposite, that if we were selling off hard and the VIX was spiking and going up higher, I think that would lead to more volatility. I think a less volatile market bodes well more for the upside.
Oh, you're exactly right. The question is, that is exactly right. So the question is it true that the backdrop is saying no matter how far we fall, everything's still safe because as soon as it stops falling, we can buy the dip? right? Because what we are doing right now is falling. Every day we've made a lower low in general for the last few weeks. And so even as we begin this week, yesterday we had a new low pressure event that has started bouncing. So yes, I definitely believe that it portends to more pressure to the upside. The question is that giving the trader complacency to buy anything they're seeing while there's still a little bit more of a drop really to be made that could turn into a panic event? That's my thought is, hey, are you not concerned at all that we're, what is it, 300 points off the high for the SPX, and we're also completely off the highs for the VIX? Because those two things will normally have a relationship that is inverse. And so I'm just looking at the broken relationship saying, should we look at that and say, is there something that's causing that relationship to break?
And just shifting away from all the technicals and just looking at the fundamentals, I mean, you're coming into perhaps, you know, two of the most volatile months of the year.
Yes.
Also, you know, an election.
Yes.
You know, in Chicago, you know,
yes.
Civil unrest. I mean, I just think it's just with so much. I mean, we're not even certain that even after the day, you know, of the election, that we're even going to, you know, have an
exactly.
outcome.
Exactly. We know they're going to fight. No matter who wins, we know they're going to fight.
Yeah,
so
I
that,
think that muddles the picture a little bit.
Exactly. And so my thought is, if you're seeing that forward and you're not buying insurance against the fade, does that mean that we're naturally throwing caution to the wind? And that's the only I wonder what that is. That's the only thing that makes me go, listen, just look for the very strongest, making the deepest pullbacks, and just buy a little bit as you move up into the space. I think the big gamblers have the likelihood of both winning big and losing big. So I see the tails of outcomes very fat right now, and that center point really being the best place for us to be. So I know it sounds like I'm punting, but really, right?
That's okay. Sometimes, you know, sometimes buy, sell, or hold is, you know, there's different strategies. But I agree with you. It's a tough environment. I mean, for me, I'm just looking at, you know, last week's low. Let's close above that. Let's work our way back to 3,300. I know you mentioned that 3,420 on a weekly basis. My calculations don't have that happening this week, but
right.
Hey, in this market, you know.
You never know.
You get a stimulus deal, which is still, you know, Trump has in his back pocket, and, you know, you're going to come in or going to be up, you know, 50, 75 handles. So
yes.
I think that's one thing that you got to be aware of.
Yes.
Anne-Marie Band is the author. She runs the tradingbook.com. She's a trader. She's definitely our most cerebral guest, or one of. Anne-Marie, thanks so much for the time today.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure. Good luck today, fellas.
Thanks a lot. All right. Let's get to some more stocks here. I did want to cover Comcast and GameStop this morning.
Yeah.
A couple of activist shares. You don't often see activist stakes in a company as big and diversified as Comcast, but you've got Nelson Peltz's Trion taking a stake. It's a very small stake, but a stake nonetheless, and he is a known activist there in Comcast. And then GameStop, they have an activist stake, and it's the founder of Chewy, and he announced yesterday that the filing showed that he had raised his stake, and that he had had several conversations with the board about ways to increase shareholder value and that sort of thing. So GameStop and Comcast both in the activist wins here.
GameStop's squeeze is on. The squeeze is on. Stocks hated. I still hate GameStop. I think it's you know, just a gift for longs. I think in the long run, GameStop's going to be back down. But right now, the squeeze is on. Do I want to be short it? Not when the squeeze is on. And the squeeze has been on here for the last month in this thing. So you get the activists in there, they kick it around. It kind of reminds me of Bed Bath & Beyond. Remember when the activists got in Bed Bath & Beyond and the stock took off from like $9 to like 20 because the activists were going to turn the whole company around. And then eventually, you know, the buzz of the activists being in there and they realize, hey, it's still Bed Bath & Beyond, and they start to sell it off again. It's kind of the same thing. So at a certain point, if I was in this, I would definitely be booking profits at a certain point. I'm not going to short it because these things can continue for a while, but the squeeze is on. You got activists kicking around. I mean, they raise the stake, and they barely raise the stake, and this thing pops 18%. So it just shows you how much, you know, that, you know, people, GameStop activists, well, they're already in there. So he's talking a little more, and he raises the stake slightly, and it pops 18%. So it's telling you, it's scary to be short, but I would not buy this and put this in my long-term portfolio. I don't think this is going to be a $30 stock. I think you will lose money if you hold this thing out 6 months.
Roll the tape from September 9th or September 10th when this stock got hit. I believe it was on earnings, and I said, you know what? People are stuck short this stock. Also, who is it? Is it Michael? Is it him that added to it?
It's not Michael Burry. It's the founder of Chewy. His name is Ryan Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, this is such a well-orchestrated rally. I mean, you've seen it time and time again. And, you know, it runs up. They get these activist stakes. They actually review their true fundamentals. It gets slammed, and it comes back. You did stick your head over $11 here, $11.24. Still trading above $10. Looking for our first double-digit close since God knows when. Back in, it was April of 2019. But I don't know about buying this off the open, but I'll tell you, if I saw this at 11, at that pre-market high, 11.24, boy, it'd be a nice place to take profit. Instead of said, you know, big short interest, you can keep going 80 cents off the high. It will back off. It will back off and fade and fade and fade, and then someone will come out with a downgrade, and then it will go down. It's just the same scenario. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to Michael Pachter, who's been bullish this stock for quite a long time, and get his thoughts on it. So that's it.
All right, we are going to get Joel a new headset.
I laughed too when I just saw that.
The super chat from Lloyd Locke there in the YouTube.
So I just threw us $5 to get Joel a new headset. Joel's going to get a new one here. We'll throw him the $5. I don't know if we can get one for $5 or not, but we'll try.
we will get one for him today. Okay. What else was on my list of stocks to discuss here? I want to talk Carvana and Vroom this morning, both getting upgraded at Goldman Sachs.
Holy cow!
CVNA.
No, stop. Is that the only news on Carvana that's getting an upgrade? There's got to be something else, right? It's up 23%. It's got to be something else. It's earnings.
Oh, they
expecting record performance in Q3. They gave guidance.
I didn't know
they were giving guidance.
They didn't. Well, no one knows when they give them guidance, but. Yeah, so they said here they expect record performance.
Holy Goldman with the timing of that.
Yeah,
Goldman upgrades at a 5:30 or this morning, and Carvana raises guidance 2 hours later. I guess they were reading their Goldman note. That's impressive. That's good timing by GS.
$205 is the price target from Goldman on Carvana. $60 is the price target on Vroom. Both up here this morning.
This unbelievable, this move in Carvana. You caught people here now. People are like, oh, yeah, this bubble burst in Carvana and we're short it. The key reversal yesterday now leads to a raised guidance and an upgrade from Goldman. If you're short this, you're talking about having a really bad day. Anyways, this stock could potentially make new all-time highs. That's unbelievable that you have a stock that has fallen 162.30. You had a stock fall like 25% in the course of 10 days. And in 2 days, it might get it all back. 2 days! 2 days. We got another $2 for the headset. $7 now. I think they cost $50. We got to get that up there. But CVNA, That's unbelievable move, Joel. I don't even know what to say on a move like this. You got the double good stuff with the guidance raise and GS upgrade. I mean, GS upgraded the price target to 205 this morning. It's 214. Does GS go to sell now later on in the same morning? Congratulations, the GS analyst.
Sell your peanuts when the circus is in town.
You're selling this one?
Oh, God, yes. There's no doubt that this thing might not even close over $200.
I'll take that bet.
Oh, man.
Okay, give me 4-1.
He wants odds, though.
$15 away. All those people, they're trapped. Overhead supply. Oh, my God. Some people are licking their
I think there's people who are short that are trapped.
Okay.
I don't know. Stock tax on $40. It's a ridiculous move. I'm going to give you that. Absolutely ridiculous move.
Exactly.
But this market, ridiculous moves get more ridiculous. I've learned this before.
Yep.
And I don't know. If that thing pulls back, I'd be covering any short in a hurry. I tell you that because the guidance raise, that candle from yesterday – I don't know what the short interest is. And, you know, people automatically look, oh, the short interest is only this. But short-term traders are buying and selling all the time.
How about it will trade?
They don't change the overall interest.
How about it will trade under 200 today?
The short interest on this puppy is over 17%. You squeeze, man. I think you see an all-time high. I'll give you a bet. I'll give you a bet. We'll make a bet here. The all-time high is 235. So if we go from 212.50 right now, that's $22.50. I think it sees 235 before it sees 190. That's a fair bet. If I did the math right. Did I do the math right on that, Mr. Israel? That was quick error math there. Yeah, 22.5 up, 22.5 down from 212.50.
You said it really fast.
Now it's 213. You're already losing your bet. Joel's thinking. Oh, he's thinking big time here.
Yeah, so what do we got? We got 235.
190 versus 235.
So that's 24.
You have to make sure the edge is there. Actually, I'm going to Carvana short flow 31%. This is now the people who are short this thing who were partying in the streets 2 days ago are puking their guts out under their desk right
now. Or they're selling more.
Well, they're selling more. They're going to lose more money because I think it's going to 235 before it goes back to 190.
Okay. All right.
He's going to do it?
I'll do it.
All right, we got a bet. Lunch bet. 190. Joel's got, I got 235 on Carvana. I'm going with GS. I'm going with the guidance, and I'm going with the short squeeze.
Wait, just so I'm clear on the terms here, this is which price it will hit first?
He's got 190. Right. I got 235.
Okay, but it doesn't have to be today.
No, any day. It's a binary bet, when it occurs. Fine. We get these price bets. It's like whenever it occurs. It could be 10 years from now. Maybe it'll be 50 years from now. We'll all be dead,
actually,
but we'll have to. Somebody
has
have to be logging this
191 for it to be fair.
Okay, fine. 191.
Spencer gave it to you on my bet.
191 it is. I just
all right, 235 versus 191. Sure. Go. Done.
All right. Next, moving on here. That was fun. There are some other ratings out there, but none more influential, I think, than the Carvana note this morning. So that'll definitely make the rounds today on the cable news networks. I want to go over the chat here. Unless there's anything else I missed on your list, Dennis or Joel.
I've always got a lot on my list, but no battery day. Nike earnings tonight I had. That was a big one, which we haven't talked the Nike swoosh yet. AutoZone earnings I have on my list, which blew it away. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I'll give you the numbers on AutoZone.
Let's do it.
Their earnings per share, man, just do a stock split. Earnings per share, $30.
Yeah, do a stock split, AutoZone.
$30.93 per share versus a $24.79 estimate. Sales 4.5 versus $4.1 billion. Same store sales up 21.8% year over year. Man, those are
working on their cars.
Yes.
They work on their houses and they work on their cars. That was predictable. I actually went long this thing at the close, 1186.01, and then it traded up over $1,200 ahead of the print. And I was like, wow, you know, I don't have to hold it through the print and make, you know, over $1,200. I mean, so anyway, so I sold it, and obviously I should have held it through the print because the stock is up more, but I was that confident. I was like, I think AutoZone beats, so even if I can't get out ahead of the print, I think I make money on it, and obviously I should have held it through the print, but and the whole reason for that is I just figure people are working on their cars. So AutoZone.
Wait, I thought everyone's buying new electric cars.
That's what Tesla wants you to think.
You can't have
a lot of people working on the cars. My buddy who's got the shop is so busy right now, and it's the same thing. So I think AutoZone, AAP, probably up in sympathy here. You got O'Reilly up $4 here as well in sympathy. So I mean, these stocks are, again, these were breaking down, but these were stocks that were probably good buys in the dip.
They had 1250 pre-market high. Oh, look at that. Three pesky highs in a row. Ooh, right there. 1250, 181. Whew. 1250, 131. 1250, 126.
Those guys fading shoes on today. He's a fader. Are you fading all this rally?
And it's below it. So, you won't see that pre-market high. Oh, it's right there. Oh, 1250. It's a nice resistance area. You give me a drop like that, then you give me three highs in the same area. That's a good
Joel number. Likes the 1250. I agree.
Pre-market high is just over. Is it 1250? 1250. Yep, right on the kisser. So.
I concur.
Good number. 1250. You know, for long. I mean, you don't want to go short anything in this market, of course. But perhaps if you're looking for the long.
Unless you were last week.
Right.
All right. Continuing on the Merry Parade. I don't see any really thing in earnings here that I even want to talk about. I bet.
All right. To the chat we go. Drop your tickers in there and we will bring them up on the show. Let's look at XPEV. This is not one that I am familiar with. Relatively new name.
XPEV.
Yeah, this is from... Who just dropped this in the chat? Who did I get this from? Will W. in the YouTube chat.
I'm long it. I didn't even know I was long it.
What? What do you mean?
I bought it. It must have got a rating change on it or something. It's got to be a rating change. I didn't even know I had it. I just looked at the portfolio. I was like, I can't talk about this. I'm long it. Overnight portfolio. Oh,
goodness.
You're talking about a stock. I didn't even know it. That's how many stocks I get. XPV, it's got to have a rating or something. There's got to be a reason I bought this last night. It's probably got a rating on it.
Okay.
Yeah, XPEV, I believe is JP Morgan, if I'm correct. It doesn't?
I don't see one, but if you say so, doesn't mean...
Yeah, XPEV, JP Morgan put an overweight on it.
Okay.
So that's why it's up this morning, and that's why I'm long it.
1886 fills the gap from yesterday, from Friday to Monday, has got right really close to that. So above 1886 really opens up until the pair of highs in 1950. I think this is, isn't this a car company too? Electric car, Chinese electric car company?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. So, all right. To more familiar names, what about Splunk, SPLK? I'm talking about the Splunkster for a hot second.
Ooh. Marching.
Again, it's this move to tech. I mean, you put in a double bottom there yesterday. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks here. I think tech bottomed yesterday. So, I mean, I think on all of these, you know, and you know, maybe you get this, you know, overnight, you know, pop, you know, and you have a follow through here from a wicked move yesterday. But maybe it fades later on in the afternoon. And I would be looking at those fades to buy. So same thing with Splunkster. I think SPLK put in a nice double bottom there yesterday. If it was to pull back in the 174, 175 area, I think I'd be a buyer.
2 and 3 day high right there around 180. So if you could get you bust above 180 here, things really start to open up another gap to fill. So good support at the double bottom, and let's see if we can get clear 180, maybe if not today, over the next couple sessions.
All right. We're being asked about another SPAC. This one I think we discussed maybe. PIC, they were in the news a couple of years ago because they confirmed or they approved their merger with XL Fleet.
Is that an EV? EV play?
Yes. Yeah, it's a hybrid. So it looks like a competitor to potentially to an SHLL, potentially to a workhorse. But PIC, I don't know. I don't know what you can say. We've seen these things sort of blast off here.
They can go anywhere. They can continue to blast off. They could come back down. It could cool off. I mean, it gets back down near $10 or $11. It seems like these original prices when they pull back are buying opportunities. It was the same reason when I got back in that LCA, and it's the gaming play of it. But as it came down, you know, below 12, I'm like, well, I don't think it's going below 10, and I still like the story. And eventually they do come back. So do I want to chase it here? I mean, you're probably $3 worth of risk. It doesn't seem like a lot of these things want to go back under 10 once they get announced. We don't have a lot of precedents. I know Mitch is doing some research on that, which we can give it to you once he's done. But, I mean, I think you got $3 of risk. And if you're buying it here, I think the upside is, who knows? So I'd rather be long than short. I'm not chasing it, but I'd rather be long than short.
Yeah. Nice high from yesterday at 14, pulled back at 13.31. So you want to stay green. You want to hit 14. You want to go over 14 and keep on going. I think if you start to pull back through the close, you could get a look at yesterday's low at 12.73. So looking at yesterday's range is really between 12.73, 14, chop. Must stay green on the session and take out 14.
All right. What about Stitch Fix here, SFIX? They're due to report after the close today. This is a weird one because it's retail, but it's also like stay-at-home retail, if that makes sense, because it's a subscription service where you just order all your clothes online and they come to you and you just send them back and it's an endless stream. So, wow. You know, there are no stores, so they don't have a footprint really, but it is retail. So a bit of a weird one here. It's sort of between retail and tech.
You know what? This has been consolidation station for a long time. If this can get above 30, it would be in a breakout. This is actually a very interesting chart here. I know Kramer kind of dogged it last night. I'll take the opposite side of Jim Cramer. I think this thing breaks out and goes. I like it. From a chart, just from a technical perspective.
Yeah,
not knowing anything really about the fundamentals.
Yeah, neither.
Other than what they do.
I guess if people are doing shopping and online and getting stuff, little puzzled at the fundamentals on this one, but
does it not look like it's consolidating to go?
It has those highs, same area, good report. You get over 30.
Yep.
30 was a number in July. So 30.44 actually, another double top and on the monthlies around 32, but it looks prime. I mean, obviously I think this has gotten hit off earnings previously. Real good support though at 27. So we'll see if this guy can break out after the report.
Upwork, UPWK, and Stitch Fix look sleepy to me and look ready to go. I like both these charts.
What about
I'm long neither of them, but I want to be.
What about FVRR while you're at it?
SVRR?
FFV.
Oh, Fiverr.
Yeah.
I trade this all the time. It's fun stock to trade.
It's also
volatile.
It's also consolidating.
Yeah. Above 130, this thing breaks out over 130, it could be 160. Watch this one. Put it on your watch list. This could be a breakout that works. That's the one thing. You know, you try to play the breakouts in non-tech and they never work. The breakouts in tech have been working. So you get this thing making new all-time highs above 130, Fiverr, it could go again. I mean, obviously, you know, it's all depends on the overall market. If we just give back and start rolling over, you know, but I think even if we're going into the lockdown and you're seeing the cases rise, I don't think that's necessarily bad for tech. If I'm going to be long anything, I want to be long tech stocks.
Now it's getting a running start into that 131.79. If you get a pullback here under 127, you had the high from yesterday, 26.71, 26.49, the two-day high, 26.52. So if you sneak under 127, I'm sure some people would like to get this stock back. And obviously if it breaks above the all time high, which was made just a few days ago, that's 131.39, no resistance to speak of.
Eric Fannin just brought a BlackBerry. I'm glad he did, cause I forgot about this one.
Do they count? Do we actually get to care about BlackBerry?
Well, yeah. Here's what I was going to say. You need to listen. If you're looking for a lower price stock that could potentially break out, there's a Catalyst here this morning. They were chosen. They won an Air Force contract to provide cell services for the Air Force. So government contract with BlackBerry up 3.5% in the pre-market. If you're looking for a lower price stock, it's formative base here. I mean, it doesn't look that bad to me is all I'm saying.
What's the symbol? I haven't looked
at it. Double B.
Oh, God, I haven't looked at this in so long.
I hate BlackBerry. Sorry, Canadians. I know it was Waterloo Company. It was a great company. You guys were the first ones to obviously come out with, you know, your BlackBerry cell phones, and everybody had to have them. Then iPhone ate your lunch, and that was the end of you. Could you get a squeeze? Could it pop up to $6 on a squeeze? Maybe.
Oh, just admit that the chart doesn't look half bad. Joel, back me up.
I think it's just been consolidating to go lower.
It's had trouble over 5 a couple times.
It's not at 0. That's a good thing.
Yeah. It needs. I mean, this one, you know, if it can bust over 5, then, you know, maybe it has a little chance of a short squeeze, though. I mean, it doesn't look bad. A couple monthly lows in the same area, but you're definitely fighting a downtrend here.
Yeah.
All right. I won't argue that point. All right. That'll be a wrap for us. We'll get Joel a new headset here today, but I want to thank our guest, Anne-Marie Band. Thanks to all of you in our chat on YouTube, on Benzinga Pro, and on Benzinga.com/premarket-prep. Please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. That'll help us out a lot with YouTube, and we appreciate that. You can always email us as well. premarket@benzinga.com is our email address. Please remember all the information from our shows are meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Everyone have a great rest of your Tuesday, and good luck out there.